Announcement I really have this evening is welcome to LCUUC and our Christmas Eve service. And I believe Jim has coffee made in the social hall if anyone would like to get together for just a minute after the service for some coffee. So again, welcome. No one is ever really ready for Christmas. If we were really all prepared, if every gift we had contemplated had been obtained, if every present was beautifully beribboned, if all the goodies our friends deserved were baked and cooled and stored just so, if each and every person we loved was gathered for our celebration, if we never snapped at someone we cared about, nor stop short of being all that we could be. If our minds were 100% loving and our hearts 100% generous, they truly would be ready, and truly we would not need Christmas quite so much. So come, Christmas, most loved of seasons. Come with the reminder that love does not depend on perfection, but on willingness to risk connection. Come into the unready manger of our hearts, that we may feel the warmth of new light and give flesh the promise of hope and bring healing into our world. Come, Christmas, come love, come hope. Be born in our unready hearts on this silent and holy night. Come, it is Christmas Eve. Let us worship together.
I Will Light Candles by Howard Thurman. I will light candles this Christmas, candles of joy despite all sadness, candles of hope where despair keeps watch, candles of courage for fears ever present, candles of peace for tempest-tossed days, candles of grace to ease heavy burdens, candles of love to inspire all my living, candles that will burn all the year long. When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flock, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among others, to make music in the heart. Please rise, embody your spirit, and join in singing the First Noel, number 237 in the Gray Hymnal. We'll do the first two verses and choruses. Welcome to Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church. My name is Fran Bills, and I'm the worship associate this evening. We are so pleased that all of you, members, friends, and visitors have joined us for this special service. Please take a moment to put any electronics on silent night setting, and again, welcome. We are so glad you are here to join us tonight.
Having a kid changes things. One of my favorite Christmas stories is by UU minister Carl Scovell, as he tells about the heating wars in his house, which at the time was the parsonage of the UU Church King's Chapel at 63 Beacon Street in Boston. And Carl says this, "I like to think that after 25 years of living together, our families developed a sense of equilibrium, a certain ease with each other. From time to time, of course, differences arise, and sometimes momentarily an act of outright rebellion. But as the reigning benevolent despot of 63 Beacon Street, sometimes I like to think that we get on very well. There are differences, especially the one about how warm the house should be. I grew up in a house without central heating, and I've always felt that a cool house is a healthy house, impervious to colds and conducive to the flow of blood. My daughters do not share this sentiment, and at times become articulate upon the point. Last Christmas, when I refused to turn up the heat sufficiently high to raise a winter's supply of orchids, my youngest daughter proclaimed, 'Behold, a decree went out of Carl Augustus, that all the world shall be frozen,' and each went to her own room to be frozen. 'Nonsense,' I replied, 'you're much better off here than if you were living somewhere else like China or Russia.' I don't recall her precise response, but she intimated that my argument was moot, and something in her tone of voice suggested the matter was not settled. That Christmas Eve, we held our traditional service, stories of song and scripture, and we added a very small new feature. On the old communion table, we placed a manger setting. Terracotta figures of Mary, Joseph, and the babe, shepherds, sheep, and kings as well. We'd never had a manger in King's Chapel before, and I felt that if we were to introduce one, the muted colors of these terracotta figures might alleviate any Puritan objection. We went through the family service at 4:30 and Holy Communion at 6 and the big service at 10:30. Everybody loved it, and I was relieved and thought we'd started a new tradition. I'd finished greeting the crowd after the late service when our sexton approached and said, "I think you better come down to the front of the church." "What's the matter, Tom?" I said. "One of the pieces in the manger's been stolen." "Oh no, which one?" "It's Jesus," he said. "Oh Lord." First time we put it out and someone takes a piece. This is going to mess us up for the next 300 years. As I walked down the aisle, I couldn't help wondering who'd done it. Somebody who objected, somebody playing a joke. We got to the chancel and looked at the manger, and sure as shooting, the baby was gone, and I looked under the table and around the chancel floor, and then I saw that someone had placed a printed piece of paper under the figure of Mary. I drew it out and saw the following message, printed neatly in pencil, in familiar handwriting: "We've got Jesus. Turn up the heat at 63 Beacon Street, and we return him for the morning service." The heat went up that night at home. The baby reappeared and everything returned to normal. Or not so normal, maybe. The benevolent dictator of 63 Beacon Street sat less certainly on his throne. No monarch, indeed no dictator, can ever be so sure of his rule after a child has been born. And everything does change after the kids are born, and sometimes those changes are greater than anything we ever imagined. A little over 2,000 years ago, the stories say that a child was born and his birth changed the world. And it all began with a census ordered by Rome.
Now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
You know, they were poor. I could tell that right away. You don't run a profitable inn in a city like Bethlehem without being able to spot, you know, the ones you don't want. I mean, I don't blame anybody for making me out to be the bad guy. The cold guy, the guy who said no room and sent him on the way down to have that kid with the cows. Who could have known, huh? Do you know what it's like to run a business? I'm not a monster. I couldn't keep food in the house. We were so full. The servants were running and running. You know how it is. Are the linens changed in the upper rooms? Did that merchant get the wine he wants? Are my kids dressed well? Are the littlest ones playing in the dirt again? I had obligations. I'm a businessman. Will my family have enough for next week or next year? That's what I was worried about. All those little problems. All those quick questions and quick fixes. Everything that goes wrong is like a grain of sand, and if you're not careful, you suddenly have an entire desert on your hands. and if you look away, you get buried under a dune. But sure, I remember them. My middle boy had just told me our camel was lame, and suddenly there they were, bumbling in like a pair of hicks. She really was just a big girl. So pregnant that she had to turn a little to get in the door and walk in like her feet were flat. You know how they do. He was older. I mean, for a minute I thought he was her father. And then he put his arm around her and I saw his face. And I knew she was his girl. I wondered if the kid was his. He got tongue-tied trying to ask for a room. The way those people get, you know. I mean, he managed to ask. As if I would have had anything with the census in town. Even if I would have had something, I would have told him to keep moving. You know, they like to be with their own kind. With things they understand. They don't get nicer things. It's not fair for to expect them to deal with such a fine establishment. I mean, they were more at home in the stable. It was a kindness, really. And when the baby came, I didn't know. I didn't even know he got here. I didn't know. I was busy. I never realized. Somebody told me later there was a star.
Please rise in body or spirit and join me in hymn number 231, Angels We Have Heard on High. We will sing all three verses. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east. We've come to worship him." In the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly afraid. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For today in the city of David there has been born a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger.
If you would, remain seated, and please join me in singing number 253, "O Come All You Faithful." We're going to do verse 1 and verse 3, no Latin. Sorry for the Latin lovers, but no Latin. 1 in English and 3 in English. Together we have come looking for a star in the east, a light of hope in the darkness. Please join me in a moment of silent meditation or the spirit of prayer for that hope. It isn't easy being a shepherd. That night was so strange. We'd been working all day with our flocks and decided to stay out in the fields so the sheep could graze well. But the sun went down and the temperature dropped. We were huddled by the fire trying to eat. Somebody had made some bread from grain, and I ate mine too fast because I was so hungry. Another shepherd had some figs that he was sick of, and he was going to throw them away, and I told him to give them to me. He missed the throw, and they landed in the mud where the sheep had churned it up. But I picked them up and ate them anyway. It was the best thing I'd ever eaten, even with the mud, and suddenly I started to laugh because the night had gone so still, and the air smelled so clean, and even the mud tasted incredible. And at first everyone started to laugh at me, but then they could see what I meant. I could read it in their faces. Something had changed. Have you ever had a moment where it's dark and cold and you're almost too tired to go on because you've been working? And suddenly something happens, something changes. One star comes out in the darkness. And you're not alone. And suddenly you can see possibilities you've been looking right past. Suddenly the air is clear and you can breathe and you know that there's hope in the world. The sky turned from black to gold and there were wings and voices like I'd never heard before. And all I could do was hug myself and laugh and feel the tears running down my cheeks.
Please remain seated and join me in singing Hark the Herald Angels Sing. The words are written in your order of service.
Thank you. I was playing my drum near the inn that night, trying to make enough for a meal. Bethlehem was full of travelers who had come for the census, but most of them told me to go away or act as if they could not hear me. And then I saw the star, and out of nowhere, a group of shepherds came running through the street, laughing and crying as if they'd lost their minds. I followed them, thinking they were drunk, might toss me a few coins. But when they reached the manger, they fell silent. A girl was inside with her husband, and she was holding a newborn child. They were poor, but beside them a group of rich teachers and wise men knelt in the dirty straw. One of them was weeping as he laid gifts beside the family, gold and oil and things that smelled more wonderful than anything I had ever smelled before. I meant to hide around the back to take some of the gold when they slept. And then the child in her arms looked up, and he saw me, and he smiled. I played my drum for him because all I had to give.
We give what we can give, just as we were given the gift of Jesus of Nazareth's life and teachings, an example of lived values and love personified, so do we give gifts at this time of the year. Tonight's collection will go to replenish the minister's discretionary fund. This is the fund which we use to help members and friends of the church who need emergency assistance throughout the year and at the holidays. The offering will now be given and received. Our thanks for these gifts given and received for the life and the work of this community.
Please rise, embody your spirit, and join in singing hymn number 245, Joy to the World. We will sing verses 1 and 2.
Thank you.
And after they saw the child, after they stood at the manger, then what? You know what? Then they all went home. The shepherds went back to their fields, and they were still shepherds. The drummer boy went back to the streets. The wise men rode away on their camels and horses. Unto you this day a child was born, and to you a message has been passed for over 2,000 years. A message that says there is hope. A message that says love one another. That love comes in human packages and human shapes that are also divine. Play your drum for one another. Bring your best gifts. Look for the star even in the darkness. See by the light of that star. We're going to do Silent Night as our last carol for the night. And I'm going to have Jim, if you would come up and grab one of the big candles to light with. And Fran, I'm going to ask you to take this one, if we can get it lit. And just nicely chalice. And we are going to light the folks on the end of the rows. And if you would lean over and light the person next to you. Tracy's going to play the song through one time for us, and we are going to join together on verses 1 and 2. So please rise in body or spirit for our last carol of the night, number 251, Silent Night.
Oh,
night, illuminated by a story and a star, we witness a miracle. A birth heralding our birth, pregnant with promise, and oh so surpassingly strange. A life no less magical than ours. A death to charge our day with purpose, helping us to live in such a way that our lives too will prove worth dying for. Joy to the world on this silent night. Amen.
Thank you.